I want to encourage you moms in this room. Of course, his mom's here as well. Michelle's mom, Myra, give her a hand and welcome her, would you? And she brought him to church when he didn't want to go, and he kind of sat in the back row and was angry. But now he's a missionary. And so so that means bring your kids to church no matter what they want. Be a parent. Amen? We're so glad Scott and Krista are here. Their ministry is literally touching a part of the world that a lot of people have not touched. And God has opened doors to them that Scott's going to be sharing. Parts of the world where ministers, as well as the people of God in those nations, are hazarding their lives. Some of them have lost their lives through persecution. And Paul, I'm sure Scott will give you some of the stories about Burma and Laos and some of the areas where they've been. We're just grateful we, as a church, support their ministry monthly. We're really grateful to be a part of it. He's a wonderful man of God, and I know you'll be blessed tonight from the Word of God that and the ministry that he shares with you tonight. So let's just pray for him as he comes and ministers. Let's receive what God has for us tonight. Father, we thank you for Scott and Krista. We thank you for their kids, the call upon their life. Lord, as they've sown their life, as they live in Thailand and minister throughout Thailand and Vietnam and Cambodia and Burma and other places that you will lead them and guide them and direct them to. Lord, we thank you for the ministries that have been touched through their lives, the people, the leaders, the great work that's being done in a part of the world where the light of the gospel has been very dim. So, Lord, we ask you that tonight we'd open our hearts and receive what you have for us, and we draw from the gift of God that you've placed upon this young man. In Jesus' wonderful name, amen. Give him a hand, would you?
Amen. Well, it's a pleasure to be here at Victory Family Church. You know, before we left for the mission field, this is actually the church we left out of back in 2000. And we've been on the mission field now in our 11th year. And it's truly amazing that God put us there and what we're doing because, I mean, I truly, you know, John didn't tell you, if you would have known me when I was a teenager, you would never think I'd be doing what I'm doing. So such bound by fear. But praise God, God delivers people. Amen? Isn't God amazing? What God can do? He is the miracle worker, and he never stops. Amen. Well, you know, so many people ask me, how do you put up with John, me and your brother-in-law? You know, it's just amazing, you know. And from his very words, you can't pick your family, you know. Yeah. So I just do what I can do with it, you know. Steve, I intercede for you guys all the time, you know. But no, really, we want to thank, you know, John and Michelle have been at so much in our life, and I'm not trying to lift them up or anything, but they're the ones who married me and my wife. They're the ones who were sort of like a pastor role to us, held us accountable in many ways. You know, even John's teaching, you know, has changed my life drastically, and I'm so thankful for them and who they've been in my life, and I just want to let you guys know that I am thankful. You got a good church here. Amen. You got a good pastor here. Give him a hand. Amen. Amen. Well, I want to share with you a little bit about what's going on. If you can, just open real quick. I don't have this in my notes or anything, but go to Matthew chapter 24. Look at verse 14. Verse 14, it says, "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness." Now notice that and underline that. "As a witness to all nations," to every nation. Amen? Amen? To every nation, all the nations. "And then the end will come." You know, many people say, "Well, when is Jesus coming back?" And you hear all these stories. He was coming. You know, we all missed the rapture already, right? We missed it. The date. Well, what was the date he was supposed to come? But I tell you, the end will come when the gospel has gone to every nation. And every people group, every dialect has had a chance to hear the gospel. And that's what it's about. It's about people. And that's what is important. It should be important in our lives is reaching people. And that's our goal. We want to reach people. The name of our ministry, we used to be called Fletcher Outreach. God led me to change it to Project Reach. And it means reaching East Asia with the commission of Christ. And we believe that God has called us to, number one, we have two objectives. The first objective, number one, is what we call the Timothy objective. And that's taken from 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul told Timothy to pour himself into other men that can teach other men the things that Paul had taught. Amen? Paul believed in four generations. Paul was looking in four generations. He was looking beyond himself. And gone are the old days of the missionary going and doing their so-called ministry, and then when they fail or they die or they leave, the ministry leaves with them. You know, it can't operate that way anymore. And we've seen that, and we really believe that's why God has inspired us. Really focus on training laborers, duplicating laborers. Can you say amen? Amen. It is important. Because when the white face comes and goes and leaves, it's the national that will remain in the nation carrying the commission of Christ for their own people. How many know? And they can speak the language much better than I can. And they can eat far different foods than I would ever eat. I've eaten some strange stuff, but I've seen some more strange stuff that I just wouldn't dare touch. You know, and I've suffered for it, some of the stuff I've eaten too, let me tell you. But you know what? It's worth it if it's going to affect lives and generations. Amen? I mean, that's what we're living for, right? We're living for eternity. We're not living for ourselves. Touch your neighbor and say, live for eternity. You know, we've been working now. We first started out in Taiwan, but then we moved to Thailand, and we based out of what's called Chiang Mai, Thailand. And from there, the estimate is a four-hour flight radius out of Chiang Mai, you can reach almost half the world's population. Because you're reaching over into India and China and all of Southeast Asia. That's amazing. I mean, China and India alone, that's a big population. And what we like to say, God has put on our heart East Asia. And out of East Asia is one-third of the world's population. And out of that one-third of the world's population is estimated that only about 12% have been evangelized. 12%. So that means 88% still haven't yet been evangelized. And so there's a big work to be done in Asia. And that's nowhere taken away from the lives who need to be reached right here. I mean, you know, there's so many lives right here where we live that need to be reached with the gospel. How many could say this? It's not fair to hear the gospel twice until you heard it once. Can you say amen?
Amen.
I mean, I think everyone should get the chance to hear the gospel at least one time before someone gets to hear it twice. There's a good book for you if you never read it before. It's called The Challenge of Missions, written by Oswald J. Smith. I really challenge you, get that book and read it if you really want to be inspired about missions, because he will inspire you. But we're working now in Thailand. You know, we moved there, and in Thailand, I've been teaching in several different Bible colleges as a teacher and an instructor, and it's so neat because we're getting to teach emerging leaders who are going out and starting churches in Thailand. And that's wonderful, because in Thailand, it's still less than 1% Christians in that nation, in Thailand. But there is freedom to preach the gospel. It's just a different type of system by which the government is extreme Buddhist, and they try to keep the gospel from going forth in some ways. One of the pastors who's on our ministry team, he started a church in the south, which now that church has gone and evangelized into a Thai prison. And they've seen 65 men, just this year, 65 men come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's not just Thais, it's Laotians and Khmer people that are in prison there. So we're getting to see other nations change just within Thailand. Some of the fruit of what we're doing, amen? And you have a part in that. This church has a part in that fruit, because we're all connected. So that's kind of like what we're doing in Thailand. And Thailand is unique because it's a place where we're bringing nationals out of Burma and Laos across the border, where we can do open meetings and training sessions with them. And so it's very key for that also. And then in Burma, you know, I've been with, how many know Christopher Lum? Bless God, hallelujah, brother. Brother Christopher. I so thank God for Pastor Christopher. He has been such a mentor in my life. I started working with him in Burma in the year 2003 in the church planter school there. He's been planting many churches there. Many lives come to the gospel, come to Christ because of those churches planted. And it's just an honor. And work. I continue to work in association with him. But then I also have been working with other ministry networks with Burmese pastors in that nation. We've been bringing leaders across the border into Thailand, doing training sessions, and then they go back into Burma to plant churches. So it's very unique. It's nice to be where we're at. Just to share a little bit with you, I don't know how many know the condition of Burma, Myanmar. It's a very, if you ever get a chance, Google it, study it, and you'll learn the condition of that country. In 1962, there was a military coup that took place, and it just went back into just such terrible what that military regime has done to the nation. But now they have just declared themselves in a progression to democracy. And the generals who were ruling the nation, kind of like they supposedly had a free election, but they put off their military outfits and put on plain clothes. But we believe God is doing that strategically for a purpose. And I really believe, and I've caught a glimpse in prayer and interceding for Burma, that the day is coming when the door will open. It may be different from what we understand. It may not be democracy, but the door is going to open where we can go in and evangelize and do greater training in ministry schools in that nation. So I do ask you, if you have that on your heart, please intercede for that, because we believe God has a purpose there. He's shown me and given me strategic things to do in Burma. And so it's unique what God's doing there. Also, how many know we were working in China. We're helping home church leaders do schools in China. How many know China is the fastest growing church in the world? It is unbelievable how these Chinese pastors win people. And not just the Chinese pastors. I'm talking about the laity. Just the common Chinese, when they're trained to evangelize. I mean, that's what they eat, breathe, and think, to evangelize other people next to them. And so the Chinese church is growing so fast, they don't have enough pastors and leaders to handle the growth. And so it's a big need. And so we were working with some home church leaders there for 2 years to do a school. And out of those 2 years, it started off with 15 students, ended up with 9. In those 2 years, and this is not a lie, they gave me the statistics, they had won over 5,000 people to the Lord. And I was just like, you know how you hear stories and you're like, yeah, come on, wait a second. Give me the truth, you know. And they said, well, listen, they said, they broke it down this. We have 3,343 people in the churches being discipled from the ones they won to the Lord. And I was just like, oh, you guys are really doing it. They started 33 new home churches. They're serious about carrying out the commission of Christ. Amen. But they're still persecuted in China. It is changing some. I ask you to pray for that nation also. I don't believe we're done working there, but right now the door is closed because of security issues and because of a change in some of the ones who are leading the administration in that ministry. But I believe that door is going to open again. In Laos, it's really unique what God has done there. How many know prayer opens doors? Prayer can change. How many believe that? Prayer can change things. God can show you so many unique things and what to do. And in prayer, with a group of, I work with a group of other missionaries. I don't do it alone. And what's good, it holds me, it gives me accountability. And we combine our resources and our gifts together. We can do so much more as a team. And we were praying. We just praying out the plan of God. How many know it's important to pray out the plan and the purposes of God? I really encourage you to get a book by Kenneth E. Hagin, Plans, Purposes, and Pursuits. God led me to read that book and reread it over and over again. And we were just praying out the plan and the purpose of God. God gave us a word, said, go to the other side of Thailand, to Laos. You're going to meet someone. And so you're like, well, okay, God, who? You know, no, just go. He told us to go. You know, how many, you know, God, sometimes God gives you words that are strange, but you got to learn to obey them. Amen? And so we went, and driving to the other side of Thailand, to Laos, to the border, didn't know anyone, didn't know who we were going to meet. The Thai pastor we worked with, he said, I remember a Lao pastor that I met in southern Thailand. Well, I was like, well, how come you haven't shared this with us already? And he calls another Thai pastor who has the number to this Lao pastor. And this pastor is actually a government church pastor. I really shouldn't be saying too much about him. But also has home churches. And that happens in China also. Those who are with the government churches, those pastors also have a home church network. And so it was divinely appointed by God. We met with him. And then he asked us to do leadership training with his leaders. And so we started to do leading. And we did seminars of 50 and more leaders. We did that for about a year and a half. And then God told us to change directions. Said, quit spending all your resources on this big group and pick 15 out of the group that are actually evangelizing and planting churches. And so we picked that 15 and we said, okay, God gave us a 3-module Bible training course to run those 15 through so that they can take what they learn and then duplicate it within Laos. Amen? Because I'm white skinned. I can't go into Laos without being noticed. You'll be followed. And so that's what we've been doing. And I just got a report last month. That group, they've already evangelized. They went into new villages, and there were 5 new families that came to Christ. And they baptized 55 believers just last month. Amen? Amen. Amen. But let me tell you, that nation is heavily persecuted. There have been Christians who, listen to me, they disappear in the middle of the night and never found again. You understand what I'm saying? So, and it is still the old school communism, worse than China. Things are developing. Things are slowly changing. And we believe God wants to do that. But you know what? It's amazing. I go in these countries and I have pastors that they tell me, you know, Scott, we don't want persecution to stop. And you know what? I'm just like, you know, because we in America, we think, oh, everything should be free for the gospel. But they say, you know what? If persecution stops, the church will stop growing. And they sincerely believe that. I actually had one old evangelist. He's been in prison 3 times. And when he tells you the story, he just smiles. You're thinking, he's been in prison 3 times and you're smiling and laughing about it. You know, but you know what? He's filled with the joy of the Lord because he's fulfilling his purpose and his calling. And he told me, he said, you know, China is starting to open now. But you know what? He told me this. He said, these churches in the urban cities, they're backing off their evangelism. And I was like, really? And so he was saying, I've been praying for more persecution. I was like, wow. Because he believes persecution pushes the church out of getting into traditionalism and settling in a comfortable place and pushes them out to where they need to be. I don't know. That's what he believes. Amen? But you know what? God is working there. Amen? Last one I'll talk about real quick is Vietnam. God opened a key door for me to go into Vietnam with one of the missionaries I worked really close with. And while I was there, such a hunger by these house church pastors and leaders that I was just blown away by their hunger. And that director, he begged me. He said, can you come every month? Every month, come and teach and train. And I was just like, I don't have the budget to come every month. I would love to be able to do, but I will commit to 2 times out of the year. And so I've been going in 2 times out of the year. And the last time I went was this year, first of this year, and I asked them, I said, I want to hear some of the fruit of the result of these meetings. Well, this one lady pastor stood up just crying, you know, and she told us, because I remembered her, the first time I went in, I have a teaching where I teach on the unconditional love of God, understanding and walking in the new covenant. And I talk about God's love. How many believe in the love of God? And who God is, his true nature. And through teaching that, understanding how to first receive his love, how to return that love back to the Father, and then how to give that love to people around you. But first, you've got to receive it. I remember in that meeting, she cried and she repented that she had the wrong heart towards God. She saw God as a hard taskmaster, you know, master. She just believed God wasn't blessing her, and she repented, and she said immediately, she said it was something that just lifted, like a burden lifted from her. She went back to her village in Vietnam. The next day, she won 11 people to Christ, sharing the message of the love of God. Amen. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Souls that go from darkness that's going to stand in eternity on streets of gold. Can you say amen? Touch your neighbor and say it's about people. It's about people. You know, what's really unique is the one missionary I work very close with, he's now gone into Cambodia, and there's a key door that's opening there, and he wants me to go now into Cambodia and where we can do open evangelism in Cambodia and do leadership trainings. And so, you know, I just step in the doors as God leads me. Amen? And so I want to thank those who have partnered with us, many of you here that have partnered with us, and I thank you for your partnership. Thank you for what you've done. You know, because what you give unto us is able to create the emerging church in Asia. You understand what I'm saying? To help train these new laborers so that they can win the harvest. They can do much more than I can do. And that's why I believe God has called us to really pour into leadership. And I have it in my heart to do evangelism, and I believe we'll do more than I have done that. I've done that. We just went into a Burmese refugee camp in Thailand just the last of last year. And we got to preach and do an open evangelism within a church facility. And we got to see, there was one Burmese refugee, one man, and he just, full of tattoos, and he was hooked on drugs. And he said he had been married 5 times, and his last wife was his Christian Korean wife. And so she got him, wrestled him into the service. You know what I mean? That happens even on over in the other side of America, on the other side of the world. She wrestled him in there, you know, and he didn't want to be there, you know. And I preached a message on the image of God, of who He created you to be, and that He loves you. And what he's created, and he said, all of a sudden, he said, it just opened to him who Jesus was. And he said, he went forward for prayer. And when we laid hands on him, he said, the power of God, the anointing fell on him. And he said, I knew I was free from drugs. And he gave his testimony. He was just tears, he's a tough looking guy, tears pouring down his face. And he said, I've never felt a drug like this. He said, this is the best drug I've ever had. He said, it's awesome. He said, you know, so it's wonderful to see God work in the nations. Amen. Amen. I got a video we're going to show, and it's going to show you about the nations we're working in, and just give you you can see with your eyes. Pictures speak 1,000 words, and so we're going to show that right now. Amen. I can, I want to have my wife stand up and my son. This is my wife, Krista, my youngest son, Micah. I'm so thankful for my wife. Listen, she gave up the malls of America to obey the call of God.
But I've been hitting them ever since I've stepped into American soil.
Please intercede for me. No. But I'm so thankful for my wife. And here's Micah. Can you say hello, Micah? Can you wave? Can you wave? Yeah, that's our youngest. He was born there where we live at. So that's Micah. And our other two are at kids camp. And so we're blessed. We're so thankful they can be ministered to at kids camp. Open your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 16. I want to share something real quick with you tonight, not too much longer, but I want to share on the three callings of God, the three main calls we see in the Bible. Touch your neighbor and say, Lazarus, come forth. Are you awake tonight?
Yes.
Amen. As you're turning there, I'm going to pray real quick. Father, I thank you for your calling. For your calling upon America, for your calling upon the churches of America, upon the people. And I thank you, Father, that even what we look at among the news and the media, Father, that we don't look to the negative side, but we look to you and we look to the positive side and we see what you're doing and we see your hand moving and we hear your voice. And I ask you here tonight that I declare this message clearly of how you would want to say it, Lord. That you would inspire your people here tonight to hear the call upon their lives, to obey that call and fulfill it so that they can touch lives for eternity. Father, we want to be about your business and not our business. We want to be about your plan and your purpose and not our own. We want to see the harvest come in these last days. And so I ask you, Holy Spirit, to share this message the way you want to share it tonight. We give you freedom and liberty. Thank you, Jesus, for walking among our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. In Matthew chapter 16, and I may go a little fast, and sometimes my wife gets on to me when I go fast, but is that all right?
Yes.
Is it all right? Matthew chapter 16, look at verse 13 real quick. I love this when Jesus, he was walking about the area there, and he asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And they say, well, some say Elijah, some say John the Baptist, risen from the dead, some say. So they're giving answers to what other people say. And then Jesus stopped and then he looked at them. And I believe, you ever have where God gets in your face? I believe Jesus got in their face. You know, one of those moments where he just gets right down in your face. And he gets down in your face and he asks them, who do you say that I am? See, there's a difference. There's a difference in the opinion of what people are saying about God and what you say from personal revelation. How many know we can't get into heaven on our mom's skirt, hanging on to our mom's skirt? Can you say amen? We have to find our belief system in Jesus Christ for ourselves. And so Jesus asked this question, who do you say that I am? And here's Peter, you know, the one who's always sticking his foot in his mouth. You ever known people like that? Don't look at them right now. Look straight ahead. Those type of people shooting their mouth off all the time and saying the wrong things. But this time he got it right. He said, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. You are the anointed Messiah to deliver the people and humanity. And so Jesus said, yes, you got it right this time, Peter. And look what he said when you look in verse 18. And he said, and I also say unto you that you are Peter, and on this rock you will build my church. On this, in other words, Jesus is saying, on the revelation of me being the Christ, you will build my church. There is the Greek word ekklesia. Everyone say ek and klesia. Ek means to take from one position, take it out to a new position. Klesia means to invite and to call. That's what it means, to invite and to call. And so when we're talking about the church, Jesus was using a word that was actually used by the Roman government. Did you know that? When the Roman government would go into an area, a new people group, and they would seize control of that area, they would select people out of that people group to come and to be trained in the ways of the Roman Empire, to understand it, and be representatives of the Roman Empire, then sent back into that people group to represent them as the Roman Empire. And I believe it wasn't by accident that Jesus, you know, I love Rick Renner. He brought that out. I love to study Rick Renner. If you've never heard him, you should study him. But I believe God has chosen us, and that's what church means, is God calls us. It's a spiritual call. It's not a physical kingdom call. It's a spiritual kingdom that he calls us out of the world and out of darkness into his family and into his kingdom, and he trains us in the ways of his kingdom to go back into the world where we came from to represent him, to be an influence for him. We are the called out ones to go back and to represent him. That is the church. And that's what I like to say. This is our first calling. Number one, the first calling we have is the call to salvation. We know that in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, you know, we are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. You remember that scripture? That we are to proclaim the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know, I've seen many religions. I've been in many countries. I've seen Muslim, I've seen Islam, I've seen Hinduism, I've seen Buddhism. And at every religion you find, and I've seen Christianity that is a religion. And what it is, it's a rule set. It's a mindset of having laws and principles that you have to be good enough to get to God and reach him, to be blessed by him. And all humanity in the forms of different religions, it's man's hands trying to reach God and touch God and to know him and say, God, I want to know you. I want to touch you. I want to be blessed by you. That's what it is. But all throughout humanity, there was no one through any form of religion they chose that could be able to reach God. But God, in his love, looked down and saw humanity, and he decided, I'm going to send my hand down through Jesus Christ into the earth. And that's who Jesus is. He's the hand of God coming to you and I. And that's why Jesus comes to us and says, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? It's the hand of God, the God who created the universe and holds it all in the palm of his hand. Yet he comes down in the form of Jesus and stretches out his hand and said, will you take my hand? Will you believe in me? And will you come and let me bring you into my kingdom and my family? Amen. That's the first call, to take the hand of God and to come into his family and kingdom. But then there's a second call. Turn to your neighbor and touch him and say, there's a second call. There's a second call. Go with me to Matthew chapter 11 real quick. Are we doing all right on time? Okay. I've went to many nations now, and you'd be surprised. I remember in China, I met one house church leader, his wife, and this lady was so depressed, had so many problems. She would sit in the corner of the room, and you know, and even afterwards, she wanted prayer. And I've been in many churches now where I constantly had people coming up to me and saying, Scott, I've been a Christian for many years, yet I have no joy. I have no peace. I have frustration in my life. What's wrong with me? Can you pray for me? Please pray for me. And used to, you know, when you're young in ministry, you'll pray for anything. You know, anything moves, you lay your hands on it, pray for it. But the older you get in ministry, you start learning to listen to the Holy Spirit and develop wisdom. And the Holy Spirit told me times, don't be so quick to lay hands on people. Start asking them questions. I learned that from Brother Hagin. Ask people questions to locate them. And I began asking questions to the Christians that would come to me and want me to pray for them, because they said, it's like I have this burden on my shoulders. And I said, well, let me ask you a question. Are you part of a local church? Are you constantly going and being fed the Word of God and being taught the Word of God? Do you have a relationship with God? And, you know, the majority of them said, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. You know, life and all that I have that I deal with, I'm busy, and I just don't have time for that. Now, listen, I'm not putting any condemnation on anyone. You hear me tonight? I'm not here to minister condemnation. That is not my purpose. I'm just giving you an answer what God showed me. And so the majority of them would share different excuses why they didn't go to church, why they weren't part of a local body, why they were not spending time with the Lord. And Jesus, you know, I believe he answers that here in Matthew chapter 11. If you look here in Matthew chapter 11, look at verse 28. Verse 28, Jesus said this, come to me, all you who what? Labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you harder burdens, brother. I will put a yoke on you that will burn you down and make you serve me and suffer. You ever heard that? I used to hear that. No, Jesus didn't say that. He doesn't want you to suffer. Bless God. No, Jesus didn't say that. What did Jesus say here? He said, and I will give you what? Rest. Listen to me. For the people of God, there is a rest. There is a rest. There is a place that we can walk with God in this life, at this time, right now, walking in the joy and the peace of God abundantly. Even though we have problems around us on the outside, on the inside, we can be so secure in His love and His blessing and His security that He is with us no matter what we face. And He brings us answers. Look what Jesus said next in verse 29. Take my what? Take my yoke. Now, the disciples understood what Jesus is talking about here. But when you study this in the Greek, yoke means to join yourself in servanthood with a person. And they knew this, that when a young man wanted to be a fisherman, he would choose an older fisherman who was very successful, leave what he had, join himself to him. He would eat with him. He would sleep where he sleeps. He would get up early in the morning when he gets up and come home when he comes home. He would walk with him and be his disciple. Look what Jesus said, and learn from me. The word learn actually means to disciple. To learn through observation. That's what it means. Let me give you an example real quick. When I was an associate pastor, I was an associate pastor for 5 years, and I worked a job in a carpentry shop with this big guy. He was an ex-Marine. He had done 2 tours in Vietnam. I mean, you didn't want to mess with this guy. This guy was bad business. But yet, he was the kindest guy you ever met. And I got to be very close with him. He's now passed away. He died of Agent Orange. But I would work in the shop with him. I remember we were building these oak cabinets. And when we were building the cabinets, you know, I was going around doing my thing in the shop, and I bumped one of the cabinets, and it fell, and the oak came down and slammed. It hit a rock that was actually in the shop on the floor, and it put a big dent in the oak facing. And I thought, oh, man, look, now this is going to have to come out of my pay, or what am I going to have to do for this? You know, and I was like, I felt bad because we were trying to get this job out the door as soon as possible. And I had to tell him, I said, oh, Rick, you're not going to believe what happened. And he said, what? You know, and I said, I've damaged these oak cabinets. And he said, let me see it. And he came and looked at it, and it was a pretty deep dent in the wood. And he said, that's no problem. We can fix it. And I said, what? He said, we can fix it. And he said, you don't remember. He said, when I grew up, I learned cabinetry from my father-in-law, who was an old Polish guy who learned woodworking back in Poland. And he said, he taught me everything because I lived with him. He taught me all his secrets. And he gave me secrets that he wouldn't pass on to other people. And so he said, I'm going to show you how to take the dent out of this oak. And he showed me. And then he pointed to me, don't ever tell anyone else that secret either, because that's a woodworker's secret. And I was amazed that Rick knew and had knowledge how to fix my problem. Do you understand what I'm saying? See, when we learn to walk with Jesus and join ourselves with Him, that's the second call, the call to discipleship, the call to take the hand of God and walk with Him. There's a lot of people who have converted to Christianity and they stopped in the first call, but they haven't answered the second call, and that's the call to discipleship, to take His hand. And every day when you get up in the morning, and even when you go to bed at night, you're taking the hand of God and you're walking with Him. And you're in a place where you're submitting to an area in a church or a local body where you can hear the Bible taught. And you can experience the Holy Spirit. And you can learn from God. And in that area, in that atmosphere of discipleship, the teacher gives you the answer to your problems. And solves the issues of life. And lifts those burdens. Touch your neighbor and say, there's a call to discipleship. Amen. And number 3, the last call I want to go to is this. Turn your Bibles with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to look at verse 7 real quick. Ephesians chapter 4. This is what I believe God is wanting to bring the Christians of America to, is this last call. And there's many of you that are fulfilling this, but I believe there's some of us and so many that we need to step into this. The last call is what I call the call to your grace, gift, and talent. The call to your grace, gift, and talent. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul is writing this to the Ephesian church, and he's talking about, actually when you study Ephesians chapter 3, he talks about how he's been made a steward of the grace of God. And that's what we live in, this church age we live in today. Guess what? We're stewardship. We're stewards. We have stewardship of God's grace. What is God's grace? God's grace is God's ability to do what we cannot do in ourselves. God's ability to remove what we couldn't remove, all our sins, everything that you've done wrong. God has the ability to redeem that. Amen. God has the ability to heal diseases and to touch your body where man cannot do it. That is the grace of God. God wants to unveil His grace to the world, to those who live in darkness. How does He do that? Look with me, Ephesians chapter 4. If you back up for a second and you go to verse 4, look where Paul is talking in context. There is one body and one spirit just as you were called. Everyone underline that word called. Called in one hope of your calling. So Paul is talking about an individual calling. Because yes, there is a corporate body. There is a church calling where churches are put in different spheres and places in locations to represent God and to minister the grace of God in that community. But within that local church is the individuals who make up the church. And those individuals have their own unique, personal, individual calling. Their own grace. If you look at verse 7, look what it says. And to each one of us, grace was given. Everyone say, I was given grace. Now, what was that grace given for? It's not given for yourself here in this context, but it says, according to the measure, this word measure is the Greek word metron. It means a portion and degree, just like this cup here holds a portion and degree of water. If I took a gallon jug, it would hold a different portion and degree of water. And so each one of us, we hold different portions and degrees of the grace of God. Do you understand what God's saying here? And you were given that grace, and look what it says here, according to the measure of Christ's gift. This word gift means dorea, D-O-R-E-A. It means a gift of honor. Let me share a story really quick. Well, we lived in Taiwan. Our oldest son, Zach, he's almost 12 now. But Zach, when he was 3 years old and he had his birthday, we went and bought him an imported toy. And to buy toys from China, you know, they don't last very long. How many found that out? Very quickly do they last. So we bought an American toy that was shipped to Taiwan, probably made somewhere in Taiwan, shipped to America, you know, and then shipped back to Taiwan at three times the cost of what you would pay in America. And so we buy this toy, we wrap it up, and we give it to our son. And at his birthday party, he rips into it, and he looks at it, and he smiles, he likes it, and then he throws it on the ground, and he runs to get something else. And as a father, and as a, you know, a mother, we went and we said, no, come here, Zach. You picked that toy up. That toy was given to you by your parents because we love you. You take care of that toy. It is a gift from us to you. Now, I want you to think about this because there's so many of us as Christians. We look at our gift and talents and we think, I don't have anything to offer God. You look at yourself in the mirror and sometimes you say, look, I look at that pastor or that person or that singer or this one, they're so much better than me and I really don't have nothing. It's like we're throwing our gift on the ground. And that gift is the Greek word doria, which means a gift of honor, because with that gift, when you lift your gift and your talent, when you use it, what you're doing, you're lifting up Christ. You're lifting up Christ, and when you lift Him up, He's able to be seen to minister His grace. And Jesus said, when I am lifted up, what did He say? All men are drawn unto Me. It brings glory and honor to Jesus Christ when you use your gift and talent. If you look in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, it's the same thing. Peter talks about as being good stewards of the grace and the gift of God. We're to minister our gifts one to another. Do you understand what we're talking about here tonight? You are someone else's answer. Someone. There is someone in a society today out of these four walls who are crying out and saying, who is God? Where is God? Is there a hope? Is there a reality? Is there an answer? Is there life? What is the meaning and purpose of life? And they're crying out. Some are even, they're debating suicide. And they're wondering about ending their life. Maybe they're strung out on drugs. Who knows what they're going through? But you hold the key to the answer, to unlocking the chains in their life because of the grace gift you hold in your gift and talent. Touch your neighbor and say, you're someone's answer. God wants us to hear him and to understand what that gift is so clearly. Amen? Listen to me. No one's gift is minimal. I don't care if you're called to, listen, I like to say this, think about this. The person who works in the nursery, how many know nobody wants to work in the nursery? How many love changing diapers? Bless God, there's a grace in changing diapers. But you think about this. Think about the woman who has five kids that's been divorced, who's about ready to give up on life. She comes into the church, and because there's a nursery, she puts her kids in the nursery. She comes in the service, hears the message, the altar call is given. She gives her life to Christ. Guess what? Was it just the pastor? No, it was the person in the nursery giving the gift of grace to that lady who sat down in the chair or in the pew. You see what I'm saying? You see what I'm talking about? All of us have a gift and talent. And if we just surrender it to God and say, God, show me my gift and talent. Show my calling. I will answer you. It's going to minister grace to someone who needs it. And I believe that's what God is trying to speak to us as the Church of America. Because how many know this country was started for a purpose? Can you say amen? This country was not started to end atheistic and a socialistic government that doesn't believe in God. This country was called by God. It was men who left the tyranny of religion in Europe that came over here to find freedom so that they could worship God and spread the message of Jesus Christ. And America, who had been on the forefront and leading the gospel and spreading it in all the world, is now taking a back row seat. Do you know there's European countries that are now exceeding America? When you look at per capita wise and in finances and what they're giving, they're outdoing America. I so remember Brother Hagin. I don't know if you ever heard his book, I Believe in Visions. He had a vision where the angel of God came up and gave him a scroll. And when he opened it, he saw a vision. And he saw America. And part of the words that he saw in the vision was, God said, my calling for America still is there. This was in the 50s. He said, there's been many callings to many nations that have come and gone. But my calling still remains here. Let's not miss our calling. Amen. Let's not miss our calling. Because guess what? We live at the best time there is. We live, you know, so many of us, we think, man, I can't wait to get to heaven to talk to Paul. And I want to ask Paul, what was it like to give birth to the early church? What was it like to be in jail and to see God bring an earthquake? You know, and some of us, we want to go to Moses and say, Moses, what was it like to stretch forth your rod and to touch the sea and see it just part? What was that like? But you know what? I believe all those men are going to run to you and I. And they're going to say, tell me, what was it like to be in the last days, to see the grace of God and the glory of God being poured out in the greatest and highest degree that it ever was poured out before? What was it like to see the last day harvest brought in to God's kingdom? What was it like to be a part of that? Amen. And you and I get to be a part of that. Touch your neighbor and say, you're blessed to be living at this hour. Amen. Amen. How many are thankful to God for his call upon your life? You know, his hand is great. It extends towards us. He calls us and he says, will you walk with me? And he brings us into his, he says, will you be part of my family? And so he brings us up and we become part of this family. And then he holds out his hand and he says, will you walk with me? And we take his hand and we walk with him. And then he says, will you extend your hand? I'm going to give you an example real quick. It's like God saying, will you be in my family? Come on, Pastor Steve. I'm going to get you off your chair.
Sure, I'm doing it, man.
And then he says,
wait, do I have to be related to him?
I'm sorry, you have to. You have to. He says, will you walk with me? You take the hand of God, you walk with him. And then he says, now, Pastor Steve, extend your hand and become my hand. To this man right here, this man who needs much grace.
Only because he needs much grace. I'll obey you. Because you're.
And so he comes, and he comes into the family of God.
Walking on hands.
And so he walks with God and becomes a disciple. And then he comes and you see, and then God says, extend your hand. Do you see what's happening here? Do you see what's happening here?
He already did that.
Thank you, Pastor. Everybody give a hand for Pastor Steve. Do you see what's happening, though? If we respond to this, the three calls of God, the body continues to build and to build and multiply and duplicate. And that's what God wants. Amen. Amen. Thank God for each and every one of you here tonight. You know, I don't know if you're here tonight and you may not really know God as your Father. But so let me tell you here tonight, He is a Daddy Abba God. He wants to be your Daddy God. There's something about crawling up into a lap of a Father. You know, our Father left us when we were young, but there, I have a Daddy God that I can crawl up into His lap anytime, even now. Even I'm a grown man, I can still crawl in His lap and say, you are my Father. And you may be here tonight, and you may not know God that way. You may know Him through a form of religion. Let me tell you here tonight, Jesus is extending the hand of God towards you right now in this place. And He's saying to you, I love you. Quit trying to do it in your ability. Quit trying to be good enough. Quit serving religion and take my hand and walk with me. I want to ask you here tonight, every head bow, every eye closed, if you're in this place here tonight and that hand is extended towards you and you say, Scott, I don't know God but except through religion, but tonight I do. I want to take the hand of God. I want to take Jesus Christ as the Christ, the Savior. I want to receive Him tonight. I want to be in His family. If that's you in this place here tonight, it's just a simple thing. All you have to do is just put your hand up real quick and then put it down. You're simply acknowledging and saying, I'm going to take His hand and I'm going to walk with Him. If that's you, anyone in this place, real quick, just put your hand up and then you can put it right. Amen. There's a hand there. Anyone else? You put your hand up real quick. There's a hand there. Anyone else? Just put your hand up. You're just saying, God, I'm making a decision to take your hand. And I'm going to come into your family and to know you as the Christ and my Savior. Anyone else in this place? The hand of God is towards you. He's not against you. He's not looking at your mistakes and your failures. He's looking at you with a big heart of love. And He says, let me pour myself out unto you and let me lift you. That's who our God is. He lifts humanity. He doesn't push them down. Anyone else in this place? You're here tonight and you say, Scott, I haven't been walking with God. I haven't been a disciple with Him. And I know here tonight I need to take His hand and I need to walk with Him. If that's you and you need to acknowledge it, I ask you simply lift your hand up and put it back down. I want to be His disciple. Amen. I'm committing to be His disciple. Anyone else? Come on. Don't be ashamed. Lift your hand. Amen. 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 I'm going to begin to walk in a relationship that is a discipleship relationship. Amen. Because that's the place where He lifts the burdens out of your life. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you say, Scott, I know I have a gift and talent, and because of fear and many reasons, I've been holding back my gift and talent, and I know tonight I need to extend my hand and let it become God's hand to someone else. And tonight I want to make that commitment. Amen. There's a hand there. There's a hand there. There's hands going up all over. You're saying, I'm going to make an effort and make a choice tonight to step past fear and begin to commit myself somewhere with my gift and talent to be used to give someone else the grace of God. Father, I thank you for everyone who raised their hand, especially those for discipleship, and to use their gift and talent. minister to them the only way you can, by the power of the Holy Spirit. Lift their burdens and show them so clearly what they're called to do. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Pastor John.
As your heads remain bowed, your eyes closed, if you raise your hand to receive Christ tonight, pray this out loud where you hear it, and the whole church will pray that prayer out loud and together with you. And the whole church will pray it with you. Say it where you hear it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. And I believe with all my heart that Jesus is the Son of God. He died on a cross to bear my sins. I open the door of my life and the door of my heart. And Jesus, I invite you to be my Savior and to be my Lord. Thank you for coming. I am now a child of God. I am now heaven bound. My sin is washed away. And Jesus is my Lord. Amen. Give them a hand, would you? Praise God.